one more evening and one more day in life. Interesting. This life is very enigmatic. I think I got to understand everything I wanted. I went to places I desired. I met with people I liked. This world, the people, amazing. There is still so much to learn in life. Anyway, I will do that. But one thing is still elusive. I have been searching and searching, but still no luck. This understanding of God has not been fulfilling. I have gone through so many books. Is it that God is so complicated that I can't understand? Or is it that my mind is so complicated that I am not able to comprehend a simple God? I thought I will once get a glimpse of Him. Whatever the holy scriptures, books of all religions and faiths, I have studied, one common thing I find is, God is a form of light. 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 And now, there is plenty of light and light. Oh yeah, those papers he gave long ago, will I get something in it? Okay, let me take it up. This might take hours for me to go through. No. Honestly, I need to devote some more time for understanding God and for my own sake. From time immemorial, humanity at large has been looking towards God for many reasons based on certain beliefs. Praying, worshipping, pleading, requesting, thanking, offering, surrendering, meditating. These are several ways through which people express their profound faith and love for God and make sincere efforts to reach out to Him. Be it for a ray of hope when desperate, for protecting near and dear ones in times of distress, for seeking strength to face dire and critical situations, asking for the well-being of the humanity, or for fulfilling their wishes. God is often the last, but the most important being remembered. For intense believers, He is not just a supreme being, He is everything, especially in times of crisis. He is the Savior, the Liberator, the troubleshooter, unseen helping hand, the hand that soothes and relieves many pains. They feel that they have every natural right over Him, irrespective of how they would have considered God before. God is held liable if ever, in their opinion, He did not come to their help. They believe God is obliged to fulfill all their heartfelt pleas for painful tasks. There are a few who have cried, wept, and shed precious tears of love in search for God. For them, God is the most beloved. They have serious issues and sweet complaints lined up against Him, that He never appeared before them whenever they called out to Him, or longed to see Him with their physical eyes, is one such serious complaint. To the learned scholars and pundits, God is a topic of serious discussions, subject of deep conversations, the source of evolution of different philosophies, faiths, theories, rituals and religious practices. With their scholarly knowledge and experiences accumulated over their rigorous study in the field of philosophy and theism, they give explanations of God his identity and methods to attain him in innumerable ways. People have also made God a guest. They would call out for his help whenever required and relegate him to oblivion for an indefinite period of time after their wishes are fulfilled. In times of happiness, he is conveniently forgotten. However, in times of distress, God is taken for granted to be their natural troubleshooter. They feel he should somehow understand their situation and expect him to shower his grace upon them to get rid of their problems. In other words, he should create miracles as and when needed. God is praised for bestowing peace, happiness and abundance. He is also blamed, thinking that he is responsible for their sorrow. The interesting point is, before undertaking a work that would have brought them sorrow, his permission or opinion was never sought for. But when something goes wrong, they have the audacity to accuse God as to why he was not kind to them. There are also people who are wary and scary of God. Fear, rather than love, grips at the very mention of God. What if God curses? Is God angry? But at the same time, there is a lot of devotion and deep feelings for God. Then there are people who keep thanking for everything as they believe God has bestowed upon them. And then there are those who pray to God out of obligation that they need to keep the family tradition alive. Some consider other great beings to be gods. There have been many elevated great human beings. They could be godly. They may have uplifted and guided many people. But then, even the most elevated people pray to God. And then, there are conversations that are not uncommon. They include conversations like, "If God exists, show him. If God is kind, let him solve my problems. If he is merciful, people on earth should not undergo sorrow in the world. Why God does not prevent untoward incidents?" Elements of nature like earth, water, air, fire, and ether have been coexisting with humanity. The sun, the moon, various planets have always been there. Many consider them to be God. But it is also believed that God created the world. On one hand, God is considered to be present in everything and everywhere. Yet on the other hand, people do call out to God, believing he is elsewhere. Why would people ignore things around them and intuitively look about to call him if God is omnipresent? There are also people who don't believe the very existence of God. They think God is a non-existing entity. For them, God is a thing of fiction or imagination. Then, there are also people who do not consider God to exist. However, they do believe in the presence of some sort of supernatural power. Irrespective of their background, people all over the world pray to God. It means that the love for God binds the entire humanity. So it goes without saying that common understanding of God leads to peace and harmony in the self, society, and ultimately in the world. People usually try two approaches to reach out to God. One is through religion that involves rituals, and the other is through spirituality. Spirituality is beyond religion. It answers the spiritual significance of religious practices. There are many opinions of God and many beliefs about Him. It is interesting to note that a person's own belief and understanding of God itself changes from time to time, based on their transitions in experiences, perceptions, influence of other people and circumstances. A question I have to answer myself and decide upon is whether personal opinions decide the existence or non-existence of God. Is it that God exists just because I believe He exists, or that He does not exist because I believe He does not exist? One has to seriously ask oneself if the change of opinion on God results in the change of attributes of God Himself. Whether I do want reality, or am I just content in believing my own assumptions, creating impressions, formulating theories based on various works, past experiences, literature on God, or general opinion of people around. I need to ask myself, as to what extent can I rely on somebody else's opinion to form my own opinion? Whether God is personally dear to me, or is He just among the many I have read about? Whether I want to have a firm relationship with God, or am I content with just having an elementary knowledge of Him? I also need to ask myself whether I would like God to be according to my imagination and understanding, or do I want to know Him the way He really is? Who is God? How to experience God? How to reach Him, connect to Him, communicate with Him, or meet Him? Is it possible to see God with these physical eyes? Is it possible to become God? Can one have a union with God or merge in Him? These may perhaps be some of the most intriguing questions. There are several phenomena in this world which we comprehend only through knowledge and experience. For example, electric current, even air, taste, or any smell. They are invisible, yet we very well understand and experience them. Similarly, we will understand God through accurate knowledge of Him and divine experiences. An accurate account of a person can best be given by the person himself. Similarly, only God can give a very accurate introduction of Himself. Now is the time. You may please contemplate based on the knowledge shared here, as revealed by God Himself, who is the Almighty Authority. It might take some time to realize the truth. Analyze and see if it makes sense. Things that are true can certainly be practically experienced and verified. And that which is untrue will always keep changing. God is very much there. He exists as much as anyone else in this world. Let us make an effort to understand God, His name, form, abode, powers, virtues, divine acts, and the time of His descent onto earth, as per His revelations. Let us try to understand and comprehend God's unlimited divine personality, what He is and what He is not, what He does and what He does not do. Let us also understand the interplay between human actions, the law of karma, and God's role. A correct understanding is required to easily focus our minds on God and remember Him. Lovingly remembering God or one of His aspects itself is meditation. Supreme Soul, God, whatever you call, we have sincerely tried our best to depict and express God and experiences with Him through this limited medium of words, music, animation, and picture. With the best intent, we would like to give a clear introduction of God. We sincerely hope this will help you towards having your own personal experiences with God. This is just the beginning of a spiritual journey towards the Supreme Soul. God's name and form. Let's make an effort to understand God's name and form. God is a subtle point of divine light and might. He is a very tiny point, infinitesimally small, sentient being, a divine star-like. He is a self-luminous point of light. He is incorporeal. God is one. His name is also one. And God has only one form, a point of light. God is God to all living beings. God is beyond any belief systems, ideologies, religion or culture. This extraordinary divine point of light and might is called by different names by different people in the world. His divine name is Shiva. The literal meaning of the word Shiva is benefactor or benevolent in Sanskrit. God is the one who uplifts all souls in the world. Only God's name is based on His divine acts and virtues. His name denotes His divine attributes and actions. Whereas human beings are named only for identification. God is the Supreme Father of all souls in the world. Whether one accepts Him as Father or not, the reality is that He is the Father of all, transgressing all backgrounds, beliefs, faiths, and human understanding. God is the seed to this vast family tree of human beings. God is beyond gender. Yet, we often refer to God using the words He or Him. This is not in the sense of he or she, him or her, as referred to human beings. The usage of he or him to God is because we could not have called naturally and spontaneously in any other way. Anyone with body will automatically come into the limitation imposed by it. But God has no limitation of any kind because He is bodiless, an incorporeal point of light, and hence He is universally acceptable to all. He does not have any physical body or physical form. No human being is God nor can they be called God. A deity is also not God. Anyone who takes birth and has a physical body is not God. God is beyond the cycle of birth and death. Whereas God is the Father, all souls are His children. A child can never become a father to itself. Hence, no human can ever become God. God and soul are two distinctly separate entities. God is the highest. He is the Father, Mother to all. He has no parents. Abode of God. What is the abode of God? Where does God reside? We live in the corporeal world made of physical matter. It comprises the sun, the earth, the moon, countless stars, and all other physical objects and bodies which have been discovered so far and those yet to be discovered. Beyond the physical world is the world of silence called Param Dham. It is the limitless, infinite expanse of glowing red light that pervades the rest of the cosmos. This world is beyond time and space, meaning physical measurements of time, distance, mass, or weight do not apply to this world. It is a world of absolute peace and silence. It is in this world that God resides. This is the abode of God. God is an indivisible point of divine light. He resides in Param Dham. He is not everywhere. This is evident by the simple fact that people invariably look above when they call out to God, reflecting the truth that God does not reside anywhere around or in them, but resides in an abode which is located far beyond this world. If God were to be present in every particle, everything on earth would have been living. Moreover, all actions would have been divine. But on the contrary, we see actions which are usually unrighteous. We would not have been stepping on anything, as it would amount to disrespecting God Himself, which is unthinkable. This belief is more out of respect and deep feelings than reality. He knows everything, but it does not mean He is everywhere. It is like the sun and its rays. The sun is at one place, and its rays engulf the entire earth. But it does not mean that sun itself is everywhere. However, only those people who come out in the open receive sunlight. Those in the shadow cannot get direct sunlight. Yet, they can experience the warmth of the day as well as the fact that it is daylight. Similarly, God is at one place, Param Dham. His vibrations of divine light and might, knowledge and wisdom, love, peace, happiness and purity is continuously emanating from Him and reaching out to our entire world.
However, only those who are tuned to Him or unconditionally love Him not only receive it all, but also experience His powers and virtues. The experience is to the extent He is remembered and loved.
The Divine Attributes of God. We will now discuss about the Divine Attributes of God. As we discuss, we will make efforts to absorb them. God is the ocean and source of all virtues. He is the only one with unlimited treasures of everything that human beings aspire for. Knowledge, love, peace, happiness, bliss, and purity are something that every human being would like to have. God is the source and ocean of all these basic qualities. He is the ocean of knowledge. He is the most intelligent of all. He is the ocean of all powers. He is therefore called God the Almighty or Omnipotent. He is the ocean of love. Therefore it is said, God is love. He is the ocean of peace, the ocean of happiness, the ocean of bliss, the ocean of purity, which He showers on all souls. Therefore, He is known as the bestower. He is the ocean of kindness, the ocean of forgiveness, and the ocean of mercy. He is therefore called merciful. When these virtues and powers are needed, He is the one we naturally turn to. Human beings may also give peace, love, and happiness to others, but there is a limitation to what they may give. What God gives is totally vast, unlimited, and unconditional. It is completely incognito in nature, but it is always easy to obtain from Him. Anyone remembering Him with love will receive what He has. Virtues and powers were all originally attained and accumulated from none other than God Himself. They were subsequently transferred from one individual to other. God is the purifier. Only He ushers peace on earth. He is the one who transforms the present world of sorrow into paradise. He is the one who transforms the human beings into deities, the elevated human beings. He is the remover of sorrow and bestower of happiness. He is also the bestower of divine insight. God is the only one who is the witness to time, its beginning, the middle, and the end. He knows the past, the present, and the future. Only He will accurately tell what has happened, what is happening, and what is going to happen. He is the knowledgeful. So it is said that God is truth. God is called God because His task is the greatest and the most elevated. God liberates us souls from bondages, and that is why He is called the liberator, the bestower of liberation and salvation. It is therefore eulogized of God that even if all the trees on the planet are used as pens, all oceans as ink, and the earth as paper, it would still be impossible to fully describe His glory, His deeds, and His legacy. Role of God. Now,
it's time to explore the most crucial topic, role of God. Before understanding the role of one God, let us dwell into certain significant truths which will help us understand the role of God accurately. There are three entities that have neither been created nor will they be destroyed. They are the nature, soul, and God. These three entities have been in existence since eternity and continue to be eternal. Let's discuss a bit about them. Nature comprises of everything that is physical in this world, which is made up of the five elements: earth, water, air, fire, and ether. It includes all that is matter, like atoms, molecules, bodies of all living beings, plants, trees, materials, and such other things. They undergo changes in their form, shape, size, and other characteristics from time to time. Souls, which are the life energy of every living being, are immortal. However, they undergo transformation in their virtues and qualities, from high to low and vice versa, as they enter into the cycle of birth and death. They get influenced. God, being eternal, is beyond change. He does not enter into the cycle of birth and death. He is always complete in all respects and full of every conceivable divine virtue. He is beyond any influence. God never undergoes transformation of any kind, be it qualitative or quantitative. There are two universal laws that are at play all the time. They are the law of karma and the law of nature. Let's understand what they are, how they affect us, and what God does and doesn't through the course of these laws. When souls are in their bodies, they are living beings. Human souls in human bodies are human beings. Similarly, there are other beings like animals and birds. But we will confine our discussion just to human beings. All human beings are bound by the law of nature and the law of karma. The law of nature pertains to the process of birth, living, and death, the cycles of time and the activities of nature. The law of karma is related to the karma or the actions of humans. According to this law, we humans will either enjoy or suffer depending on the action we perform, whether good or bad. Every good act will be rewarded, and each bad act invites punishment. Therefore we say, as we sow, so shall we reap. While some actions give results instantly, some yield over a period of time. Some results will be experienced either in the same birth or in subsequent births. The law of karma is very deep. It is not possible to tell which particular karma caused a particular result, because we don't know the sequence of actions we performed previously across births. But the law is always at play, acting impartially on all the people all the time. So there is justice always. Everyone is ruled by this most beautiful law. No one can escape or is excused from this. God the Almighty is all-powerful. He is not bound by any laws, yet He does not interfere in any of the laws of the nature, nor does He break the law of karma. The thoughts and actions of human beings have wide ramifications on fellow human beings, other living beings, and the nature. Every good act gives so much of happiness, contentment, and peace within and around. Even nature concurs with these actions. Likewise, bad acts result in creating sorrow within and to fellow human beings. A body is made of the elements of nature, so when humans keep abusing body, it amounts to disturbing nature, and hence even the five elements retaliate in the form of natural calamities. Repeated bad acts weaken a person morally and spiritually. The feelings of guilt make humans restless. It has a spiraling effect. Due to the mundane desires, intellect gets totally clouded. It is a state of illusion or maya. In this state of mind, human beings don't realize that they are under illusion and get into obsession for doing wrong things, suffer even more. Sometimes they even derive sadistic pleasure from it and get themselves locked in the vicious cycle. But the law of karma catches every culprit. The law punishes them. As a result, people land in a variety of circumstances which are hard and punishing. In adverse situations, people often wrongly blame God as the reason for their sorrow, and that He was responsible for pushing them into such conditions. Inner strength gets eroded to such an extent that beyond a limit, it would be almost impossible for a person to make amends and do course correction on their own. With this awareness of the law of nature and the law of karma, we will now understand the role of God. There is no one other than God whom one can depend upon to come out of this rut. Whether a person asks for his help or not, those who realize their mistakes always get help from him. God gives strength to do the right actions in such a way that the law of karma is also complied with. Was God not helping all the while? He very much was. But sometimes due to innocence, negligence, influence from the outside, weakness from the inside, and lack of attention on the self, makes a person ignore the signs and warnings that would have come through many ways. Perhaps the biggest mistake a person makes is to expect God's help and direction to come as per their way, which is corporeal. It is always required to keep the mind open to catch God's signals. The law of karma may sometimes appear difficult to accept, mainly because of the ignorance of the actions that were performed previously and in earlier births. There is a degradation of humankind over the ages due to vices that are within. God has no role in this. The awareness of the law clarifies certain wrongly held beliefs on God. It clarifies that God does not punish anyone in any way. He never curses. He does not direct anyone to act in a negative or painful way. God does not cause natural calamities like tsunami, earthquakes, floods, cyclones, and others. He does not give any sorrow to any soul. Nor does He test anyone. Why would He? Being the Father, He loves all and only gives happiness to us. It is irony that people conveniently choose to blame God. But the fact is, He is the only Savior and has always been showering mercy and love upon everyone all the time. He always gives sufficient strength and shows the path to overcome the effects of their past mistakes and guilty feelings. God's help and power gives strength to a person to face and settle the accounts of the past karma. He treats all equally. He is impartial to every being, whether someone believes him or not. Being the one who is inherently aware of the deepest truths of the law of karma, he loves his children, despite the fact that they have gone astray. He is aware that his children commit sins because they have forgotten their true identity, their relationship with him, and the law of karma. God always blesses with all virtues and strength. We need to get connected to Him to receive His blessings all the time. Regardless of how unworthy or fallen a person could be, God always provides them with energy to stand up again and rediscover their originality. There is no need to keep repenting or lose hope. When the mind or the world becomes a wild storm, the most beautiful shelter is God. That is why He is glorified as the Redeemer of the sinner. God is the only protector. Only His loving remembrance guarantees protection and security to everyone in this uncertain world. Whatever extreme the circumstance may be, anyone realizing their mistake and looking up to God selflessly, with surrendered mind, will experience His quiet helping hand through many unexpected ways. Many people narrate or recall how their totally hopeless condition got reversed and how they felt some invisible and unseen force acting behind it during that time. God is always the giver. God is bestowing peace, happiness, bliss, and internal strength to all, equally all the time. It is this energy that keeps everyone moving. Divine actions of God: creation, sustenance, and destruction. Let us make an effort to understand God's divine actions. The divine actions of God are creation of the new world of total peace and happiness, sustenance of that new world, and destruction of the sorrowful old world. This is why He is called Trinity. These divine actions are beyond the reach of any great human being. His most powerful task is to liberate souls from the bondage of vices and to plant the sapling of the new world. Let us understand the meaning of creation. God neither creates a world out of nothing, nor destroys it into nothing. He does not create different things, objects, or anybody. The world has always been in existence. It has been there since eternity and continues to be eternal. He is the one who establishes a new world, heaven on earth, where there is one religion, one kingdom. That is why He is called Heavenly God, the
the Father. God only transforms the old world into a new one. God establishes a world of complete peace, happiness, prosperity, and abundance. It is called heaven or paradise. Everyone in this world is complete with all virtues and qualities. People who live there are also human beings, but with divine qualities, hence worthy of being called deities. It is God who is the sustainer of the paradise. The virtues that human beings have inherited from God sustain the new world for a long period of time. The world was at its elevated best. However, as is the nature's law, anything that is new does become old with time and ultimately ceases to exist. In that form, after which it takes another form, there is decline in the status of human beings for sure. There is degeneration. A time comes when pain and suffering, sorrow and peacelessness become so intolerable that most people develop an aversion towards the old world. We are witness to some of the most heinous crimes being committed, for which there has to be an end. Disappointment, disillusionment, and distaste towards the present old world of misery and suffering leads ultimately to its destruction, prior to its transformation and re-establishment as a new world order. The process of transformation is very interesting. World transformation begins with self-transformation. The transformation in the self starts with the transformation in one's thinking. It then continues with transformation in attitude, mindset, activities, and lifestyle, which have to become divine. It is akin to demolishing an old house and building a new one in its place. The outer world is, after all, a manifestation of the inner world. As are the thoughts, so are the vibrations. Subtle positive vibrations from the transforming souls keep transforming the world. Thus, when soul transforms, the world gets transformed. Ultimately, the present world gets transformed into a new one. This is the meaning of destruction and creation, more precisely, transformation. God has descended. Come, let's recognize this greatest divine event. It is said that God descends onto earth during extreme unrighteousness and irreligiousness, when basic human values, moral values, and spiritual values are grossly neglected. It does not take much time to find out that the present world is in such a horrendous state. Chaos, mindless violence, restlessness, and vices have become the order of the day. The signs of degeneration, as mentioned in all holy scriptures and old sayings, are all there to be seen today. Does it take much more degeneration for God to descend? How long will the chaos continue? If this does not necessitate God's descent, then what does? If this is not the time, then when is? When so many people cry out for Him, He is bound to come on earth. God has in fact already descended onto earth. Yes, He has descended to re-establish the order
and restore sense. He has descended to wipe out sorrow from the face of earth. Resurrect the world with purity, peace and happiness. God has been carrying out this great and divine task silently, unseen and incognito. He is here to liberate every soul from the clutches of vices. Take us back to our abode, the Param Dham, and bestow the divine inheritance of peace, purity, happiness and bliss, which is everyone's birthright. God has no body of His own. Since human beings can only understand corporeal language, He descends into the body of an ordinary human being, which is His corporeal medium. This corporeal medium is called Prajapita Brahma. Through Him, He has been imparting the knowledge of Himself, the Supreme Soul, about us, His children, and the method of remembering Him by which we can transform ourselves. This is the basis of spiritual knowledge and Raj Yoga meditation. It is now up to us individuals to identify, recognize, accept His divine descent and gain immensely from it by following His directions. Complete transformation is inevitable, and the new world arrives at its designated time. So the exact date and time of transformation has no specific significance. On the other hand, importance lies in self-transformation by means of self-purification. God says, "Remember me and your sins will get absolved. All impurities in the soul will get burnt in the fire of remembrance. God is the only purifier. The only way of purification is by lovingly remembering Him and performing righteous actions." God is the most beautiful being, no one else. Human beings may have discovered several good things, but the fact remains that they are ignorant of many other, especially the ones which are related to the purpose of life, life's goal and its meaning. Attaining fulfillment, contentment and a sense of satisfaction. Questions like, "Who am I? Where have I come from? Where will I be going? What would make me happy and peaceful? What makes me unhappy?" Answers to these questions would require not only persistent study, but also bringing into practice whatever one has studied. This is what has driven persons to undertake the study of various philosophies, theologies, scriptures, undertake rituals, penances and practices. God is the only one who has all the answers and solutions. Human beings need to realize their inherent limitation and acknowledge the infinite power of God. So the way to find all the answers is by surrendering the mind unto Him. Surrendering means telling God, "Whatever I am, however I am, I belong to You, I am Yours." Realization dawns upon a surrendered mind. The intellect gets purified. This is the method to attain higher consciousness, experience supersensuous joy and unlimited bliss. The vices that grip the humankind today, namely ego, anger, greed, lust and attachment, naturally slide away.
paving the way for a broader, wider, and a clearer vision to life with a greater overall sense of satisfaction. This would then foster clarity in life and a higher sense of purpose. The mind becomes strong and the intellect gets elevated. Many things that previously appeared to be difficult in life become easy. In God, one can find solutions to every problem faced. While the challenges and problems in life may continue to exist, one will get strength to handle problems easily. Even the most complicated tasks, emotionally draining problems, and very delicate ones become miraculously effortless to solve. In fact, they no longer appear as problems, but as games that one would wholeheartedly participate in and enjoy playing. What more can a person want in life? Life transforms and becomes most meaningful with a sense of purpose, achievement, satisfaction, and contentment. His divine blessings of peace, love, mercy, purity, strength, and powers, which he bestows, are always available for all people and all the time. We then understand that God is the most beautiful being in the entire cosmos. Beauty is a thing that bewitches everyone and draws their minds to itself. It is God who is absolutely and truly beautiful. His beauty is spotless. It never suffers change or decline. He is the greatest charmer. His loving remembrances make anyone radiantly beautiful. It is only from him that a person gets the boon of immense beauty of the soul. The eternal relationship with God. We will now rediscover our eternal relationship with God and feel that relationship. We are all well aware of the human relationships. It needs no explanation. Many human relationships are pristine, pure, spiritual, and selfless. And that makes the experience very beautiful and memorable. One main basis of human relationship is the physical existence of the persons. But how are we connected with God, who is totally non-physical? When much of the humanity is praying or calling out to God, irrespective of their beliefs and background, it means that we have deep connection and profound relationship with Him. We are related with God in a way which is beyond that of human relationships. It is a divine and eternal relation. It is the relation that transcends all that is physical. I have to make an effort to go beyond the physical awareness and the body and body consciousness to rediscover the depths to which I am connected with God. It is the relationship between a soul and God, the Supreme Soul. I need to accept, realize, and be aware of the fact that I am inherently a spiritual being, a soul, not a bodily being. Further, I, the soul, am seated in the center of two eyebrows in the forehead. Only then can I start grasping the divine relationship with God. Jesus Just as there is a father, mother, teacher, guide to all of us in physical plane, God is everything for I, the soul, spiritually. God is the supreme father of all souls, and souls are his children, whether one is aware of it or not. This is the basis of universal brotherhood. This is the way we souls are all connected to each other. It is one divine world family. It is forgetting this all too important fact that is leading to unfortunate animosity between human beings. He is the supreme father and mother, the supreme teacher, supreme friend, companion and guide. Each relationship has its own significance in our life. Where there is a relationship, there is love. However, the three principal relationships with God are those of Supreme Father, the Supreme Teacher, and the Supreme Preceptor. As the Supreme Father, he gives divine inheritance of limitless love, peace, purity, happiness, and strength. This inheritance is long-lasting. It keeps souls peaceful and happy for many births. As the Supreme Teacher, he teaches and imparts human beings the knowledge which makes them royal. As the Supreme Preceptor, he shows us the way and guides us along to Param Dham, our home, sweet home. His guidance always shows the right path throughout. The basis of sustaining any relationship is love, faith, and the inherent awareness of that particular relationship. For example, a child is inherently aware of its parents. Similarly, one need not be taught about how to think of their siblings, relatives, teachers, friends, or companion. We keep automatically remembering all those who have helped us in our life and feel indebted to them. It is similar when it comes to our relationship with God. We need to understand that He has been taking care of and helping us souls. We have to devote some time to lovingly remember Him and realize how we are inherently and eternally related to God in very many ways. Maintaining a loving and deep relationship with God ensures a well-balanced and smooth relationship with others. It is time to go into silent contemplation, to acquire an awareness of the self, correct understanding of God, and experience heartfelt love towards Him. Many have the love and respect for the Almighty. However, the degree of importance attached to the relationship with God and sustaining it over a period of time differs from person to person. Through contemplation and meditation, we will realize the fact that the relationship with God is eternal, divine, inherently deep, completely unconditional, totally selfless, the sweetest and the most loving. Obstacles to reaching God and overcoming them with realization. Yes, we will discuss on them, and more importantly, we will realize how to overcome them. When someone charts a new course for their life in pursuit of spirituality to meet God, they often may need to be prepared for some unfamiliar encounters. There may be obstacles that one needs to overcome. All these days, human beings have been used to thinking too much, and the thoughts are too scattered.
consciousness is usually towards matters that are mundane. So the main obstacle in this step would be one's own mind. There could even be discouraging and dissuading remarks by others. Different thoughts that keep arising prevent one from getting into a peaceful state. The mind is used to wandering by creating many unnecessary thoughts. This is the reason why one finds it challenging to keep one's mind in order and focus on God. So every time an unwanted thought pops up, consciously make an effort to train the mind to create purposeful and useful thoughts to overcome it. We need to compel, convince, placate, and inspire ourselves, rather than wish that someone else does this for us. Because this life itself is between me and God. It is a lifelong deal that covers many births. This is an effort one has to make continuously and repeatedly. Don't get demotivated, frustrated, and give up if and when you face storms of waste and evil thoughts. These are mainly due to impressions of the past karma. So just ignore such upheavals and be truthful to God. But we need to understand that these are all passing phases in the path of enlightenment. Ultimately, we will be victorious. Many would unfortunately give up in their quest for divinity due to such internal turmoil. But we need to understand that the spiritual effort itself gives a variety of beautiful and memorable experiences that are highly empowering. Experience of God is the greatest motivation. Keep talking to the self about the goal of life. Keep reminding the self of the benefits it gets in terms of peace, fulfillment, and the ease of leading life, and keep studying. Each experience is unique and brings newness and variety into life. With a little attention, patience, and consistent practice, one would soon find it to be not only easy, but also an ennobling experience. Many are doubtful in their ability to experience the divine. When it comes to experiencing God, the physical attributes of the self, like name, status, background, the previous successes or failures and the like, have no meaning or bearing. Physical characteristics like age, shape, appearance, distance and time also have no relevance. Be reminded that after all, we are souls, not bodies. For God, all are equal. Any time is okay for anyone to have his experience. One should not think of leaving their hearth and home, nor should one escape from one's responsibilities. In fact, one should always do their work dutifully, fulfill their responsibilities, accepting that work as God's work, and considering themselves as trustees. Because the soul has become weak, one has to make an effort to remember God and then to be in His remembrance. Bodily attractions and feelings are a big enemy of a spiritual effort maker. It takes the attention away from God. So, one has to make conscious effort to detach oneself from such pulls and attach the mind to Him.
Is God hearing? Is God listening? Are my thoughts reaching Him? Is He aware of my situation? These are perhaps questions that pop up naturally. The fact is, He is always hearing and giving solutions and replying to everyone. But because the intellect is clouded, person is not able to catch it. Because I can't hear, I feel God is not hearing. To increase the catching power so that I can hear what God is telling, cleansing of the soul should be done on a daily basis. There is absolutely no need to beg or ask for anything from God. Let there be no fear, expectation, hesitation, or inhibition of any kind. Because He is knowledgeful. He knows better than us in terms of what we need and what we don't need. Even without asking, He showers on us what we need, as much as we need and more. He would have given us that which we needed even before our awareness of the need. He loves His children so much that what He showers is always enough and more. Further, God need not be reminded of what He should not do and what He has to do and when. All we have to do is just have firm faith in Him and without any doubt focus the mind and intellect on Him lovingly. God may be far away in Paramdham, yet He is just one thought away. At this point, let us also be clear about the meaning of power. When we say God is all-powerful, the almighty authority, God gives us controlling power, ruling power, willpower and determination power. Controlling power means controlling our own mind and karma or actions. Ruling power is ruling my own senses, like my eyes, ears, tongue, skin, hands and legs. Willpower is the ability to think and do that which is to be done, and not to think and not to do that which should not be done. Determination is to implement disciplines in life, come what may. It is the lack of these powers that make a person helpless, restless, and weak. Remembering God means receiving all these powers that gives us assurance to do things that appear impossible and also face situations that are very daunting. Remembrance makes a person a king of their own senses. Hence, remembrance of God is called Raja Yoga meditation. Raja means king. Yoga means link or communion. Communion with God. With self-control, we learn the art of being content and happy even with seemingly difficult circumstances. We get power to adjust, power to tolerate, power to judge situations, power to discern, and ability to withdraw from circumstances as and when required. Experiencing God. We discussed many aspects of God. Let us spend time in experiencing God Himself. How can I see God? How to reach God? How to converse with God? These are perhaps the basic questions over which people keep thinking deeply. Having a momentary glimpse of God remains the noblest wish of many. God is incorporeal and subtle.
it is not possible to see him with physical eyes, the way we see other human beings. Similarly, it is not possible to hear or talk to him the way we do with others. So, it is not wise to expect to meet, see, or talk to God in this physical way. God says, "Remember me to reach me." The way to reach God is to remember Him. God is very sweet and loving. His sweetness and love can be experienced by remembering Him with lot of love. As much as one remembers God intensely, one starts to understand the Self, experience Him, and experience all that He bestows. One will realize not only the relationship with Him, but their duty towards humanity as well. Remembering God is synonymous with receiving all the qualities and abilities He has. One will experience peace and happiness. One will get solutions for all the problems they are facing and become free from bondage. The mind gets strengthened to such an extent that one can handle any situation one is facing with confidence. Good intentions and pure wishes get fulfilled. The method to remember Him is simple and easy. There is no need of any via media. Every human being has their own limitation in understanding God. So, one need not depend on any other human being to get connected to God. An effort has to be made to mentally withdraw from the feelings of the surroundings and the body. Voluntarily and consciously bring back the awareness that I am a soul and I am seated between the two eyebrows in the forehead. Then in this state of mind, remember God as a point of light. Slowly create thoughts of His divine attributes, the ocean of knowledge, ocean of peace, ocean of happiness, ocean of bliss, and ocean of all powers. Think of all aspects of God. Keep thinking of all relationships with Him, like father, mother, teacher, and so on. Rediscover every relationship with Him. Have thoughts of His personality and glorification. Think of how I, the soul, am a sentient being, different from the body. Be in this awareness as much as possible. Keep doing this time and again till it becomes natural. The way to win over God and make Him mine is to become honest with Him. One should make oneself completely transparent to God to receive His unmatched love and powers. Anyone who wishes to transform or reform one's own self and thereby contribute towards world peace automatically stands qualified to get all help from God. Those who take just one step of courage and determination in this direction of righteousness certainly receive a thousandfold help from God. However, it is we, the human beings, who have to take the first step. God's help just flows. This also indicates the enormity of His grace, which makes the otherwise arduous path easy. Anyone can certainly experience the nearness of God. His proximity, which can be felt and experienced, is much more than that of any human being. It is then that we realize the true goal and purpose of our life, which is self-realization and God-realization, and help others discover the path of realization. Going beyond the feeling of the body and remembering Him with deep love gives an extraordinary experience. It gives immense satisfaction and fulfillment in life. All the deep impressions of sorrow, unhappiness, misery and peacelessness left in the soul due to many unpleasant incidents get washed off. It is like a discharged battery getting charged by a power source. The soul gets absolutely replenished and rejuvenated. The joy overflows. The soul becomes pure, light, and peaceful once again. In this state, one will comprehend the exact understanding of conversing with God, seeing God, and reaching Him. It is generally believed that experiencing God is very difficult. It involves rigorous practices and that it takes years. But the reality is, the way to connect with Him is amazingly simple and easy. He is God, but He is always a loving Father and hence available for our sake. One can practically experience Him in many ways. Whether there is a problem or not, invite God lovingly. He is there, watching me and eager to help out. With this faith, accept every situation that comes across. It is time to enjoy a life filled with His divine blessings. Have hearty conversations with Him. Rather than discussing issues and troubles, think of how His powers give strength to face any challenge. God's remembrance automatically has in it all the elements of positive thinking, being eternal optimistic, taking control of our life. The steps required towards discovering and experiencing God in daily life is surrendering one's mind unto Him and the practice of soul consciousness. Rather than getting curious about His identity and going into the futile exercise of verifying His unlimited divine personality, it is wise to start by saying, "I would very much like to know You completely and experience Your love." Accept the ignorance as well as limitation of the self with humility and surrender unto Him with the thought, "I am Yours, as is, where is, with whatever good or bad within me, I am Yours." Go inwards. Make an honest effort to overcome the pulls and the feelings of the body and be in the awareness of the reality that I am a soul. This is soul consciousness. It is also called as the inner eye or the third eye. With conscious effort, practice and perseverance, the awareness of the self as soul becomes natural. In this state of consciousness, one can experience the unlimited personality of God, which is that of unlimited ocean of all virtues and powers. It is a stage of total absorption in bliss. One attains total fulfillment and feels the ultimate satisfaction in life. Keep making sincere efforts to remember God, whilst and before doing every karma, even simple ones like standing, sitting, eating, drinking and so on. Be indebted, have gratitude for all that He has bestowed. Either you sit comfortably in a posture of your choice and remember, or keep doing your activities while remembering. Both are meditation. It would be very serene experience when special time is created daily for meditation practice in solitude or in a gathering for contemplation of God and self-realization. It may be hard to believe that it is so simple, but in fact, it is this simple. The only challenge is to continue making sustained efforts to keep going into the depths of this extraordinary experiences. There is no limit to the depths of this experience, because God is an ocean in His attributes. The more one tries to discover His depths, the more one realizes the vastness of His personality. Even an entire lifetime is not enough to understand His vastness. Nearness to God can be further sustained by the practice of bodilessness, that is, maintaining the awareness that I, the soul, am detached from the body. The more one develops a sense of detachment from the body, the more one realizes deeper connection with God. Develop a deep interest for understanding Him completely. It is in silence that one can feel and experience God's company. Practice of constant remembrance, which is Raja Yoga meditation, silent contemplation and Karma Yoga are essential. Karma Yoga means being in the remembrance of God while carrying out our daily activities. It is a matter of constant conscious effort and practice, and you will discover that the work gets done with much ease and enjoyment. Life becomes free of tensions and tribulations. One can experience God's unseen helping hand in every walk of life and each task one performs. Certain disciplines, if followed, will take us even closer to God and help us practically experience His love at a greater depth. The discipline includes embracing purity of life and incorporating meditation in daily life. Purity of life means to have a celibate lifestyle and consuming pure vegetarian food that is prepared in the loving remembrance of God. Practicing meditation in the early morning hours, any time between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m., will bring us closest to God. During this time, there will be total serenity. So, a few sacrifices are required in love of God. After all, they are no sacrifices compared to what we get in return from Him. Actually, these sacrifices make us fortunate souls. Practice of soul conscious vision and attitude takes a person to a much higher plane. Interacting with others with the understanding and awareness that they are also souls, the children of God, make the relationships smooth and selfless. Beyond the point, no amount of explanation is sufficient to introduce God. Corporeal languages and words have their own limitations in accurately describing the incorporeal God. It makes conveying the precise intent and meaning of the way to remember him impossible. Further, everyone's perception is different. Meaning, although relying on knowledge is essential, it just forms the initial effort towards understanding God. This is why the subsequent spiritual effort making becomes crucial for sustaining our request for experiencing God. The effort that involves sincere internal incognito practice of all that is discussed so far. Soul consciousness, bodilessness, focusing the mind on God, overcoming internal and external challenges, karma yoga, spiritual disciplines, and so on becomes the key. Self-surrender is the foundation for this practice. We need to experiment in daily life to consistently obtain practical benefits and experience bliss. As we continue to make efforts, we receive the right touching and guidance directly from God Himself. While it is not possible for a soul to merge in the Supreme Soul, it is certainly possible to get immersed in His unbounded love through in-depth practice. The resulting deep experiences cannot be explained in words. Such unique, powerful individual experiences form the fundamental evidences of our divine encounters with God Himself. Rest assured, we will have the ultimate clarity of God. We reach the highest consciousness. We are over 7 billion souls on this planet. God is the Father, Mother to all of us. He is the Lord of the entire universe. He loves all of us equally, all the time and simultaneously. He is aware of everyone's intentions, thoughts and feelings. He knows our past, present and the future. He is hearing us, looking at us and caring for us directly and simultaneously. Anyone who lovingly remembers Him, even for few moments, from deep within, will experience that God is available entirely for their sake only. All have the privilege of such divine personal experiences, parallelly and simultaneously. This just gives a brief sense of the extraordinary personality and power of God, which is beyond ordinary comprehension. All these days, we have been amongst friends and relatives. All along, we have been remembering them with ease, even whilst carrying out our daily chores. And it's because we remembered people, we got influenced by them. Now, it is time we add God at all times and reserve a special place for Him in our life, our daily life. Let us remember God as much as possible so that His virtues and powers influence us. It is time to see God deep from our inner eyes. Converse with Him to no end with deep feelings. It is time to keep experiencing throughout His magnanimity, generosity, and a life full of His blessings. Om Shanti.